morning. And yes, one of us up here just doesn't quite belong. Now, I did have a choice. There was a very, was it, red gown back there? Looked like a very nice evening gown that I could have thrown on, but I decided I would go with this. In my age this morning, I was at a children's Christmas party this morning, started at 8:30. I grabbed everything. Most important thing was the sermon, but left my cloak bag, so I am up here this morning, and I feel like I'm having one of those nightmares where I'm standing up here naked. So, but my zipper is up. So I am, so I'm doing good. And you would have thought that since I was coming back, I would have practiced the Mi'kmaq words, especially since the mother of my children is one-third Mi'kmaq or Aboriginal. So it, I should have gone to her, but I did spend a year up in Nunavut, so I did learn a little Inuktitut, which is very similar. But let us come together as one body in our welcome. As we gather in this place, we remember with gratitude that we live and worship on lands that are, by law, the uncreated territory of the Wabanaki people, predominantly the lands of the Mi'kmaq, the Maltese, and the Passamaquoddy. And we acknowledge the Mi'kmaq people and their stewardship of this land throughout the ages. Well, Harbor Woodside United Church is a safe place for all people to worship, regardless of gender identity, race, creed, age, ability, cultural background, or sexual orientation. Amen. Now I've got to wing the candle thing again. I don't even have my cheat notes this morning. As the choir will attest, I had cheat notes hanging here last time. Look, they're still here. Who's the custodian of this place? I just needed to basically remember which candle was which. The Christ candle, the service, and the peace candle. So, and I'm all hyped up on chocolate, so you'll just have to bear with me this morning. And I had to sit on Santa's lap this morning, so I'm all fired up. So, let's go with the, which one is this one here? That's the service. Start with the big one. Thank you. Should tell Michael to get a shorter calendar or candle. Some of us vertically challenge people. So, the Christ candle. When we light the Christ candle, the key is the flame. And as we gather this morning as a congregation, as a people of God, we think of the Christ candle and we would give all praise and hearty thanks to the Holy Spirit that the word of Christ will empower us, empower our choir which is singing this morning, and that the word of Christ would be able to spread throughout this nation and throughout the world. Amen. And this one here? Peace. Oh, I love the peace candle. Let us light a candle for tolerance and pray for a unity that respects diversity and enhances the well-being of all the people of Canada and for the world. Let us pray for a society where it will be easier to live, where joy will be the lot of many, where all the children will be surrounded with love, and where prejudice will have no place, and where God will be more evident to all. And our service candle. As we gather this morning, we ask that the Holy Trinity watch over all of those that could not be here with us this morning. And we also ask that the Holy Spirit give wisdom and guidance to all of those who service their community, including our doctors and dentists, nurses, police, paramedics, firefighters. And sometimes quite overly overlooked is our correctional workers. They are fighting a battle on many fronts. They are dealing with their own struggles and then dealing with an environment which sometimes is not pleasant. So we ask that the Holy Spirit also watch over those in the Correctional Services of Canada. Amen. I'll take this with me. Get rid of the evidence. I have to ask, what's with the... Yes. Yeah, I didn't bring it. Oh, okay. Okay. It's not mine. It's the children's story. See, I don't have to do that this morning. I brought in somebody else. So our opening song, Come and Find the Quiet Center. Voices United, 374, verses 1 and 2.
Thanks for the goodness of God.
We give our thanks and praise to God.
And our opening prayer in unison. Gracious God, once again you have called us together in this place.
Here we open our hearts and lives before you. Here we seek to hear your life-giving word. God, in this time of song and prayer and speech, open our very souls to receive your challenge. Open our wills to accept your instruction. And when our time of worship is ended, lead us back out into the world to share the good news with the world around us. We pray in the name of the one who brought your healing love, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen.
And our first hymn this morning is Come In and Sit Down, Voices United, 395.
Fire.
Well, it's a delight to be among you as part of the family. I'm Reverend Krista Elizabeth Wynn, and it is a joy to do one of my favorite things, first off, share God's word with you. So let us hear from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 5, verse 1 to 7. Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard than I have done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its walls, and it should be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briar and thorns. I also command the clouds that they shall not rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed. Righteousness, but heard a cry. And picking up a few chapters later, Isaiah 11, 1 to 5. A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight will be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eye sees, nor decide by what his ear hears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the branch of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. I invite the children to come join me at this time. Morning, how are you? I'm new around here, so I don't know you all. My name's Krista Elizabeth, and I thought if I count to three, if you all yell your names, then I'll know who you are. You think that will work? Ready? One, two, three.
Emily.
I got a few, but there's a few more names. Maybe at the count of three, everybody could yell their name, and then I would know everybody. You think that would work? One, two, three. I don't know. I think I'm going to need some time. I think I might be stumped for a bit on some names. Speaking of being stumped, did you notice what we've got here? It is a stump. Does it look like it's fabulous and fresh and growing? No. It was in my car, and I can tell you it does have a smell to it, and so does my car now. Because you know what stump is left from when we cut down a tree, and then it just all starts to die and be dead. In our reading today that I just read, we have this nice, it started off really nice. It talked about God being like a gardener, and God's a good gardener. He knows exactly what to do to help. And he's trying to grow this vineyard, but the grapes weren't really cooperating. They weren't the kind of grapes that he worked so hard for them to be, and so he just decided to let things go. And when things go in a garden, sometimes they die, and we end up with stumps. It looks pretty bleak, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, God, when we think things are over, it's never over for God. God always has a plan, and he has hope. I brought another little stump. This one looks a little bit better, doesn't it? Because what do we got up here? Moss. We got green. We got growth. So it looks sort of helpful. Well, the rest of our scripture went on to say that out of a stump of Jesse, which would flag everybody to know, oh, somebody's dad's name was Jesse. King David. Do you remember David? Oh, I'll have to tell you about him. He went on to be a king, and people had hope in him. And they said, out of this dead stump, there's going to be a shoot. This really wasn't the time of year to find a shoot. But out of a stump could come a fresh new tree. Wouldn't that be amazing? Just when it looks like everything's over, God promises he's going to do a new thing. And sometimes people clue in when they hear out of the stump of Jesse. They're like, oh, there's a little baby born that we celebrate at Christmas. Who's that? Do you know who was born at Christmas? Baby Jesus, yes, somehow that baby represented this new shoot that was going to grow up. When it looked like everything was over and dead, God had a plan all along. He had hope. And so next time you see a stump, just remember, when it looks over and done, not with God. God has a plan to bring good things. Yeah. Well, will you want to pray with me? Let's pray just after me. Loving God. Thank you, you always have a plan.
Thank you, you always have a plan.
Thank you for bringing hope.
Thank you for bringing hope.
When things look dead and sad.
When things look dead and sad.
Thank you for the blessings you have for this congregation.
Thank you for the blessings you have for this congregation.
And for each of us.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, our children's song is a song about hope, and I know this song with actions, so I'm going to invite you and the big kids out there to maybe do some actions with this song. This song, Dance with the Spirit, and I don't know, maybe this isn't your dance move, but you bust a move that you like early in the morning, walk with the Spirit throughout the long day, and then like God the gardener, we're going to work and hope for a new day that's dawning, and then we're going to listen to the Spirit to show us the way. So let's stand and sing our children's song.
glasses on. Don't worry, it's not too bad. We get rid of these two right off the top. So yes, that, for those that weren't here 2 weeks ago, I guess, for the truly blessing event where I was here, my name is Stephen Cochran. I am the main chaplain for the Centennial Branch Legion. We have some Legion members here. I'm also the acting chaplain for Psalm Branch. I was a candidate for ordained ministry through the United Church of Canada. I was a minister for Wentworth United in Wentworth Valley for 4 years, and I've since branched away from the United Church, but it's great to be back in the United Church. Both my children have been baptized United, and now I'm working for a non-denominational fellowship church. So they have a break this morning. They've got another fill-in there, so it, you guys are blessed to have me back. But I expect an applause today. You know, if they can get one, I mean, jeez. I can play a flute or the piano. What is our job? God made this beautiful creation in which he put us to live. How are we to live here? And what would God have us do? How would he have us be? And creation is not static, sitting under glass from the time it was created. It is constantly growing, changing, evolving, and living. Just for example, this morning with our stumps, we can constantly have growth. So we get to witness the changes of the seasons, the familiarity, the patterns that play out just as we expect them to. Now, unfortunately, sometimes our falls and our springs are very short. We seem to have gone directly from summer to winter. But typically we do have a nice autumn and a nice wet spring. Then there are naturally occurring changes to the earth. In its earlier days, we know the oceans and the lands change places, growing closer together or further apart. Mountains grow and they shrink. There are natural fires, earthquakes, and tsunamis. And we, God's people, grow and change as well. And there is an expected form and pattern to it as well. Though, of course, with all of our changes, and we all have different variations. We witness the arrival of new beings. Babies are formed through female and male bonding, developed and born from our female bodies, and nourished, supported, and protected by us all. As we humans have lived over the millennia, we have altered our environment through living in it. We dig waterways, we fashion travel ways, we erect structures that are less, then more and more and more elaborate. We invent ways to feed ourselves, keep ourselves warm, help us to move from place to place, and we can get further and further. In early days, we lived in small places, limited by our ability to travel. And just think of Jesus and his ministry. Incredible as it was, it happened between Galilee to the north, then south to Jerusalem, maybe about 100 kilometers between them. In recent times, maybe in the last 300 years, we have developed ways to increasingly travel around the earth, even to the moon a few times. Our structures are becoming more and more elaborate. We need energy to keep us warm or cool, to fuel our cooking, our buildings, our traveling, and on and on. As we asked earlier, what did God mean for us to be doing with his creation, and how did God mean for it, for us to be? In the scriptures, there are two presentations of the process of creation. It can be read, the first, in Genesis 1 to Genesis 2, verse 4. And it is beautiful, and it is poetic. The second is in Genesis 2 through Genesis 3, and deals more with God's forming of humans, and then the trouble we got ourselves into, and actually getting kicked out of the original garden into the rest of the earth proper. The passages are different in how they describe our humans' role in the creation. We read in Genesis 1, verses 27 through 31, the first story. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds in the air and over every living thing that moves upon earth. In other words, it sounds as if God is saying that he made us to be like him, and therefore we get to be the bosses of the earth, subduing it and having dominion. The Hebrew word uses kabash, meaning to conquer, to bring bondage, to force, to keep under or subdue. But let's check the second story. Here we have in the garden, the Lord took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to till it and to keep it. And then, even after the people got sent forth to the rest of the world, we can read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 23, the Lord God sent them forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground. So many of our Bibles translate the Hebrew words abad and shamar as to till and to keep. So these words, the whole gist of that part of the second story, are very different. The Hebrew word abad means to keep, to work or till, to be a servant or to be enslaved. It can also be meant to worship. Then the second word, shamar, means to attend, guard, preserve, and protect. So in the second story, rather than being in dominion or being bosses of the earth in the image of God, our charge is to be a servant of the earth, to preserve it and to protect it. Why are these stories so different? It turns out they were from different times. The first was given to us by what we call the Yahwist writers, or called J. They lived at the time of King David, his monarchy, and were concerned about accounting for the greatness of their people, specifically those chosen by God and their purpose of this empire, and it was all of theirs. And that was the tenure of the times. It was their empire, and it was theirs. The second story was given to us by the priestly group, the source called P. There are two more groups who wrote most of the Old Testament, but that's for another time. So the second story was written in the 5th century B.C., a good 500 years later. By then, the Jewish people had been exiled to Babylon and just returned to find their temples demolished. They were clearly in a different, more humble frame of mind. They, too, wrote about the history of the Jewish people, but it was from a viewpoint of gratitude to God. These writers knew their people's frailties and their transgressions. They were no longer seeing themselves as the image of God. For those of us who do our best to use the Bible as a guide for our behavior, what we do with this, having different compelling stories or competing stories, we have to figure out the stories. Well, I've heard time and time again when people are speaking about our biblical relationship to the earth, they speak of God giving us dominion over, or the power over, the earth. What we do, we see fit to do, as in the chapter in 1. We get the power, we get to be the boss. What about the charge in chapter 2, to serve and protect? Some would say that we need both. If we take charge, feel free to take over, surely we must keep and protect. We know that we are at the point of we humans, as our life on this earth, that things through our presence and doings are changing drastically. What we are doing is changing the world we live on. We have climate change and the warming of the earth. We have been using fossil fuels, and they're not only affecting our atmosphere and this, our air and our bodies and our health, but they are running out. They're almost exhausted. Do we have 50 years? Do we have 100 years? As the Arctic warm, our oceans warm and spread, the land available to us is starting to shrink. It is possible that our descendants will have a very different and perhaps less habitable place to live on Earth. And will the Earth ever progress to the where it's no longer habitable for humans at all? Will only the cockroaches survive, as they always seem to in all the movies I watch? When we think of these in this terms, then it would, you know, move something within us so that we will strive to meet our short-term needs like food. We all need to have food. We all need to have warmth. We need to have the ability to travel. We all have jobs, etc. But we also need to keep the bigger picture in mind. We must not be doing things that would place God's creation at risk, or at least God's creatures that has been placed on it at risk. Yet sometimes we humans risk it anyways. Then I think we need to go deeper into our Christian faith on this. Besides the directives in the Old Testament, we have the gospel of Jesus. It is completely out of fashion, but I still think every now and then we should do the WWJD. What would Jesus do? Or what would Jesus say? Since we only have four short gospels to work with, sometimes we have to guess at what he might have said or how he might fit our current dilemma. What if a plan is in place that might have catastrophic consequences and it feels as if only you, or maybe some of us, can see it? What then? Maybe all you can do is do nothing. Jesus reminds us that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in his branches. Maybe you, maybe I, can be that one seed. We can do what only we can do, but you never know what the results will be. We can plant that one seed, which is a small seed, and it will grow into a massive tree. But to go on, sometimes things happen, whether natural storms or the irreversible effects of human folly. And sometimes they're truly devastating. Just think back about 105 years ago to the Archduke Ferdinand of Austria, and the unstoppable courses of events that led to the First World War and 16 million dead. So if the shooting of one person led to 16 million dead. Now, all these things were out of control and definitely out of our control. And even when they are planned, are happening, they are out of our control. We do that every day. You go, you make a cup of coffee, your mug could break, or the power could go out. There goes your cup of coffee. Not everything is always in our control. So then we can pray and pray that things might turn out okay. Or you can turn away in anger, the way Jesus did. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, from Luke 23. Because truly, we know that no one wants devastating catastrophes to this place, to our earth, but humans do misjudge, and we vary in our willingness to risk. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Because ultimately, this is God's beautiful creation, and we are so privileged to be God's people, whom he gave it to, so we may live on it. But God is more than his creation, and we are more than the bodies living here at this time. Yes, while we are here, it is our job to do our best to look after this place, and we're going to differ on what we believe we should be doing. I can imagine when you're getting the building re-sided, there is probably difference of opinions on just even doing a simple job as re-siding your building. We all have different opinions, and we all have different choices. And just as we live, passing through our lives, the earth will live as we pass through it. Overall, within among us all, through here, even in this church, is the kingdom of God. And blessed be the kingdom of God, now and forever. Amen. So we have a representative for work of the community. Announcements? There they are.
I guess I'll go first. I have two announcements. Kelly wanted me to mention that there's now a sign-up sheet for the children's Christmas Eve service. So if any of your children are interested in taking part, either speaking or non-speaking parts, please fill out the sign-up sheet in the narthex. And the second announcement is that last winter we hosted a Guess Who's Coming to Dinner event. And from everyone that had attended, they said they had a lovely time. So I would be happy to organize another event this winter. So I'm hoping to gauge interest on who would like to host an event, host a dinner. If you're not familiar, it's hosts who will serve a dinner in their homes, and they won't know who's coming to their dinner until they arrive at the door. And for the guests, they won't know until the day of. So if you're interested in hosting a dinner, come see me, and we'll see if we'll be able to arrange one for this winter. Thanks.
Well, good morning. First of all, I'd like to apologize for being this late to bring up the fact that Hope Cottage is this Thursday. And Paul will be accepting donations Tuesday and Wednesday. He'll deliver them on Wednesday. And I was hoping Dolores Adams would be here because she nudged me last week and said, "When's the next Hope Cottage?" And I said, "Oh, that's in December. We just had one the end of October." So I was wrong. Luckily, Paul was here and had it in his phone anyway. So I know it's late telling you, but if you can help out, it would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Just as a follow-up to last Sunday's announcement about the church calendars, they're on sale again today. A response last week was really good, but if you want one, they're going fast. Diane and Kara will be in the hall today at $10 each. Whether you got your schedule on a computer or not, you still need this calendar. And just as a bit of information, you probably can see by looking at the building that we're looking pretty good these days. The construction project is complete, and there'll be a full report coming from the Board of Trustees very shortly, but we are within budget and we are holding back 15% for 45 days just to make sure that the supplier pays his bills. Thank you very much.
Good morning, folks. On behalf of the Pastoral Care, I would like to invite folks to a sing-song this Wednesday here in the chapel at 1:30. I'll be bringing books with the words and playing some guitar, and Anne is going to be playing some piano, so we can do some of the songbooks as well as choose hymns and sing. Anyway, I'm hoping that folks will come along, and please pass the word on to anybody who might like to come along. We'll, like I say, sing, and then we'll stop for some lemonade and cookies or something, and then resume singing again. So please join us if you can. Wednesday, 1:30.
Adventure Camp. Our gifts for mission and service provide opportunities for children to explore how they can change the world one step at a time. High Country United Church in Mono, Ontario became a place of fun and laughter when it hosted the GEO Project Adventure Camp for children in grades 2 to 7. Children explored their faith and justice through unique service projects. One program involves shopping at a local grocery store and then delivering the food and diapers to the Orangeville Food Bank. Participants' eyes were opened to what it means to need a food bank in their community.
This program is presented as a day camp experience with trained camp staff facilitating. It offers fun camp experiences such as games, songs, crafts, small groups, delicious food, and a fun time in a safe, intentional community. It's a great way to engage the children of your congregation in what it means to be called to love our neighbors. Thank you for your gifts for Mission and Service that provide opportunities for children to explore faith in a fun and safe environment. If Mission and Service giving is already a part of your life, thank you so much. If you have not given, please join us in making Mission and Service giving a regular part of your life of faith. Loving our neighbor is at the heart of our mission and service.
See, I'm glad I'm not the only one. I don't know what's going on anymore. I do remember you guys get the little brown one. Thank you. Thank you. Pray. This is a unison one. Good. Throughout our scriptures, God, you command us to care for those in need of our community, in our country, and in the world. You call us to provide for each other's needs and respect the dignity of all people. Your realm imagines a place all are afforded the chance to live and work in justice. As we bring our plates, our fire, and our living to worship today, we participate with you, God, in the coming of your realm. In grace we have been given freely, and in love you joyfully call us to imitate you. These gifts bear witness to the justice for which you long, and our faithful response to the loving care we find in you. Amen.
Thank you.
This is prayers of the people followed by the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. O God of grace and glory, you gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross for our redemption, and by his resurrection you have delivered us from the power of sin and death. We give you thanks and praise for his love and for your love. May all your people enter into the joy and freedom of his risen life. May we dwell in him and he in us, now and forevermore. O God of grace and glory, enrich our lives with the knowledge of our risen Lord. Help us to set our minds on the things that we hold dearest in our heart, those things which will endure and not on earthly matters which quickly pass away. Help us to be joyful. Help us to be generous with all you give. And help us to proclaim your peace and to live your peace at all times and in every circumstance. Indeed, we pray you to guard our face so that when Christ appears, we might also appear with him in his glory. We pray, O Lord, for your church around the world this day, that it may testify to your way, your truth, your life, and all that it does. Make us powerful and effective witnesses to what you have done and what you're doing and what you will do. We pray, O God, for the nations of this world today. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the peoples who live there and for all countries in conflict. We pray, O Lord, for those who are separated from loved ones, for those who are homeless and those who are unwanted or unforgotten. With Christ, we remember those who are hungry, those who are naked, and those who are in prison. We pray, O Lord, for our families and for our neighbors, and for all those whom you've placed upon our hearts this day. Hear the prayers of thanksgiving that we make with all of our family and friends on our hearts and those on our minds. Eternal and compassionate God, we ask all that we ask, and we give thanks for all that we thank you for in the name of Christ Jesus, he who lived and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, both now and forevermore, and as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our next hymn is Through Ancient Walls, Voices United, 691.
Thank you.
May the Lord now bestow upon you the courage of God's gentleness and the steadfastness of God's brave endurance. May you be made strong and tranquil in the knowledge of love, and may God bless you and keep you forevermore. Amen.